नाइवां गृभा भार वृथा सरिथोप्यसुष्यान् रुधा गुहा किम अजितो वटिनोपसानान् कस्माद् भजन्ति कवयो धनदूर्मधान् धान् Are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? Do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms and charity? Do the rivers being dried up no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? What then? Why then do learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The renounced order of life is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. According to the dictionary, a parasite is a sycophant who lives at the cost of society without making any contribution to that society. The renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householders. On the contrary, acceptance of alms from the householders by the bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint for the tangible benefit of the donor. In the Sanatan Dharma institution, almsgiving to the mendicant is part of a householder's duty, and it is advised in the scriptures that the householder should treat the mendicants as their family children and should provide them with food, clothing, etc., without being asked. Pseudo-mendicants, therefore, should not take advantage of the charitable disposition of faithful householders. The first duty of a person in the renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give him realized direction toward self-realization. Among the other duties in the renounced order of life, Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, the foremost duty discharged by them was to hold learned discourses amongst themselves at Seva Kunj, Vrindavan, the spot where Sri Radha Damodar's temple was established by Srila Jiva Goswami, and where the actual Samadhi tombs of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami are laid. For the benefit of all in human society, they left behind them immense literatures of transcendental importance. Similarly, all of the acharyas who voluntarily accepted the renounced order of life aimed at benefiting human society and not at living a comfortable or irresponsible life at the cost of others. In this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, Shukadev Goswami is beginning his teachings to Maharaj Parikshit. In this very famous and important verse, he's explaining the nature of a true devotee of the Lord. Such a devotee has complete faith in the mercy of God. Krishna is the source of everything that exists. Janmadyashayataha. He is the ultimate controller of everything. And not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. He is providing for every living entity in all the material and spiritual worlds. Shukadev Goswami is asking for one who surrenders his life to the service of the Lord, will the Lord not protect him? Will the Lord not provide for him? What really are our needs? We have so many wants, so many superficial desires, which are mostly born of social conditioning. The society we live in brainwashes us to think that we need so many unwanted facilities. We are trained in such a way that there are so many artificial necessities that we can never have enough of them. And the more artificial necessities you have, the more you require other artificial necessities to maintain those. In this way, life becomes an endless complexity. Simple living, high thinking, is the basis of spiritual development. Simple living means to come down to the reality. What really do we require in life? Shukadev Goswami is explaining so many wonderful wardrobes of clothes we think we need. So many sets of shoes that we think we have to have for every possible occasion. Are the trees not giving their bark freely? So many wonderful places to live, beautiful homes. Shukadev Goswami is explaining, are there not ample flat surfaces on the earth to lay upon? Do you not have two arms to use as pillows? As far as utensils, did the Lord not provide you 10 fingers and the palms of your hands? Are there not torn clothes lying on the common road? Actually, there are still caves in the mountains. Are they not closed? How many of us are willing to live according to this standard? This is real civilized life. What we are living is totally uncivilized. It's barbaric. Of course, in our brainwashed conditioning, we are thinking people living in caves and eating with their hands and wearing tree skins, that they're barbaric. But according to the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, he didn't even wear tree skins. He considered that was an excess luxury. He wore nothing. Of course, in our society that we are living today, to take these instructions literally, we would probably be in jail or in insane asylum. But to say the least, it's rather impractical. But the spirit of these teachings is absolutely applicable and essential if we want to make spiritual development. Because the more that you have artificial desires for unwanted necessities in life, the more you have to be dishonest. the more you cannot be straightforward and live for the truth. You have to flatter people. People who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth. You have to become a slave, a servant of grossly materialist exploiters. Real freedom means to be independent. Independent of all the exploitation of this material society and all their exploiters. Able to just speak the truth as it is. In order to have this independence, one must be completely dependent in Krishna. One must have complete faith that Krishna will provide. If I just do what Krishna wants, I have nothing to fear. Haridas Thakur, he was living in a cave, and people would come to him for spiritual guidance. All classes of people, because they knew he was genuine. He wasn't after getting anything from anyone. He simply wanted to contribute the highest benefits to all living beings by giving the gift of Harinam Kirtan. But in the cave he was living, there was a terribly venomous serpent. And this snake was emanating such poisonous vapors from his breath that the entire cave smelled so bad that his guests were so much disturbed they couldn't even go to visit him anymore. So they asked Haridas if he could move to another cave. Haridas said yes. There is no reason to disturb this snake. He's also part and parcel of Krishna. He has every right to this cave as much as me. So I will leave. Just at that time, the snake left the cave, never to be seen again. What does this story indicate? That Krishna is in the heart even of the most ferocious, deadly, poisonous serpent. And although he was living in the cave with Haridas Thakur, because Haridas was so surrendered to Lord Krishna with faith, there was no possibility of the snake harming him. Because even the snake is being directed by the super soul, the Paramatma in the heart. And when there was an inconvenience to Haridas by seeing that his followers were having trouble, the snake simply left by the arrangement of Krishna. By the dictation of the Lord, the devotee is always protected, providing that devotee has faith and is willing to surrender. Such a devotee has nothing to hide and has nothing to gain. Such a devotee is simply immersed in devotional service. Of course, we must know that our real aim of life is purification. It is the inner original quality of our soul that is our real wealth. The so-called wealth of this world is an illusion. It is a mirage. It is an impediment if we become attached to it, if we become dependent upon it. Shukadev Goswami is speaking this verse to Maharaj Parikshit. Now, previous to this first day of Srimad Bhagavat Katha, Maharaj Parikshit was living as a great king. Was he any less a great devotee as the emperor of the world living in the palace of Hastinapur as he is when he is fasting till death on the bank of the Ganges? No. Maharaj Parikshit, he was in this spirit of complete dependence and surrender to the will of God, even while living as a great king. What is the difference between Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit? In essence, there is no difference. They were both completely surrendered souls, willing to give their lives to help others in the faithful service of the Lord. But in function, there was a difference. Shukadev Goswami is exemplifying the highest principles of renunciation as a Brahmin and as a guru. And Maharaj Parikshit is exemplifying the highest standard of pure devotion to God as a grihastha and a king, an administrator of society. They were both performing their duty in complete detachment and complete dependence on the will of God. And how do we know that Maharaj Parikshit was like this? Sometimes people challenge us that you have certain devotees in your congregation who chant 16 rounds every day and come to the temple every morning, but they already have everything they need in life. So it's not so difficult for them. But us, we don't have it yet. We're struggling, we're fighting. So we don't have time for this luxury of being able to just do such nice sadhana and engaging in so much wonderful satsang with the Vaishnavas. But what is the test that such personalities who have everything in this world that is required, and they are charitable and God conscious, what is the test that they are actually surrendered and depending on the Lord? Maharaj Parikshit displayed this to the highest standard. Maharaj Parikshit had a palace bigger than any man on earth today. There is the United Nations. So many countries, so many political heads, presidents, prime ministers, kings, they all have their little domain. They're all making their international policies to try to have various relationships with other kings and other prime ministers of other lands for economic purposes. Maharaj Parikshit did not need any such diplomacy or negotiation because he ruled the entire world. And every other political leader on earth bowed at his lotus feet. Such power no one has today. Such wealth no one has today. Such aristocratic, high social culture no one has today. He was born in the family of Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Abhimanyu. Maharaj Parikshit was a Kshatriya at the time when Kshatriyas were real.
They were royal. They were courageous. They were heroic. They were truly Rajarishis. They were saints.
So one may think,
it's not difficult being such a great soul, a great devotee, when you're born into such a high family, and you have everything at your feet, and you have such power, and no one could challenge you.
But when it was the will of the Lord, even though Maharaj Parikshit was young, he was at the prime of his life. He was given the indication,
give it up. Not tomorrow, now.
He was cursed unexpectedly. He had no time to prepare for this curse. It came upon him like a thunderbolt. In 7 days, Parikshit Maharaj, you will die. Maharaj Parikshit was such a great and powerful yogi that he had the power to counteract that curse if he so desired. He could have somehow or other fought for his position and maintained his service as king and maintained his family and his home. But he did not even desire to attempt to do such a thing. This is Krishna's will. He wants me to give it up now. Without a second thought, he turned over his entire kingdom to his son. He took off all his royal clothes, put on the simple cloth of a mendicant. He left all the royal comforts and luxuries of his palace to sit on the hard, dry dust of Ganges bank and vowed to fast until death. But that's not all. That was just an external manifestation of his desire. His real desire was that he would be in the association of the great sadhus, and he would hear from them the story of Krishna, the teachings of Krishna, for the last 7 days of his life. Are you willing to give everything up at a moment's notice if it is the Lord's instruction to you? Do you have that faith? Are you really depending on Krishna? How real, how genuine is your devotion? If you ask yourself this question, then you may get some idea of how genuine your devotion really is. Parikshit Maharaj had a beautiful, chaste wife, children, everything. And he had a young, strong body. Not only was he willing to give up all of his comforts and all of his social positioning, he was willing to give up his life for Krishna immediately. Die to live. If we do not have something in this life we're willing to die for, we have nothing in this life that is worthy of living for. And there is only one thing worth dying for: Krishna. Service to Krishna. Devotion to Krishna. We cannot imitate Maharaj Parikshit, but we can understand the standard which he is giving to the world. And we must make this
realization and devotion that he has our goal of life. And we must gradually approach that realization systematically. According to wherever our realization is right now, we must be striving, praying, and preparing ourselves. Because before death, this is what is expected of us, this type of devotion. To have so much faith in Krishna that we're willing to do anything for him at any time according to his will. Krishna is the friend, the well-wisher of all living beings. Even when it appears that Krishna cheats us, in his cheating, he gives us the most precious gift of his mercy. We are celebrating the month of Damodar. This is a very auspicious time of the year. It was on the day of Diwali that Krishna stole the butter from Mother Yashoda's rafters. He was tied up by the rope around his waist. He knocked down the twin Arjuna trees. In this way, he displayed the intimacy of the love between himself and the residents of Vrindavan. This is the month where Krishna is celebrated as he who cheats the gopis, he who is a thief, who steals their butter. But actually, through these wonderful pastimes, Krishna has come to steal our hearts. And the gopis of Vrindavan, they only made their butter for one purpose, to make it so nice, so delicious, that Krishna will come to steal it. If Krishna doesn't come to steal our butter, then what is the use of our existence? What is the need of our butter? It is all a waste. This is how we should be living, whether we are grihastas, vanaprastas, brahmacharis, or sannyasis. Whatever we do in our life, we should be hoping that we can make do it so nice that Krishna will want to accept it. We should not act for our own selfish interests or our own extended selfish interests. We should act for Krishna, knowing, as Rupa Goswami has given us the instruction, that just surrender to Krishna, you will not lose. You will gain millions and trillions and quadrillions of times over. What do we have to surrender? Everything already belongs to God. The only thing we have to surrender is the misconception that anything is ours. And simply offer what is Krishna's to Krishna. That inner spirit of sacrifice is what makes our life worth living. So these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam are very strong. Shukadev Goswami is what we would call a very powerful preacher, a no-nonsense preacher. He's simply presenting the truth right to your face, as fearful as it might be. When we hear these verses, sometimes they're fearful. How can he say this? That there's still caves in the mountains? There's still flat
flat ground to lay on. You still have your palms as utensils. Is there not rags laying on the ground? To live by this standard, it's fearful. Why is it fearful? Because we have no faith. Or let us say, little faith. To the degree it scares us, to that degree we are not really depending on the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, devotees are fearless when they become truly advanced. Abhaya charanaravindare. How is it that the most prominent quality of an advanced devotee is compassion and fearlessness? Fearless because a devotee knows, I don't require anything of this world. I have Krishna. As long as you think you require anything of this world, that means you are fearful. And the more things you feel you require, the more fearful you become. And fear means misery, anxiety, and suffering. You cannot be happy if you're fearful. Peace comes when there's no fear. How to come to the standard of fearlessness? We have to become detached. And how to become detached? By becoming attached to Krishna. Because everything of this world you will have to leave behind today or tomorrow. But that realization of your trust in Krishna is eternal. That is the greatest thing. This Krishna consciousness movement is the gift that has been given to all of us by the great previous acharyas, such as Shukadeva Goswami and his servants. To deliver this gift of purification. This Krishna consciousness movement is so wonderfully like the full moon, creating light in the darkness of this age of Kali Yuga. Darkness means ignorance. Ignorance means janasya mohoya mahamameti, that I am this body and those things in relationship to this body are mine. That is the definition of ignorance. In this dark night of Kali, where ignorance is so greatly prevailing, the full moon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is shining bright. And what is his mercy? The transcendental opportunity to perfect our lives, to receive the greatest treasure of Krishna Bhakti, by which we become fearless, by which we can be in this world but not of this world, by which we can become like Maharaj Parikshit. We can be perfect, happy, peaceful grihasthas. We can be very, very productive, contributing great resources to society through our work, but at the same time, be completely detached, that I don't need any of it. All I need is Krishna's name. All I need is the association of his devotees. If I have that, my life is perfect and complete. And everything else is just a decoration.
If Krishna wants me to utilize all these decorations, I will use it. But my inner self is detached. All I need is Krishna's name and Krishna's devotees. If Krishna gives me so many other things to work with, I'll use it for him. If there comes a time he says, you don't need it, I can give it up. That is the real standard of life, spiritual life. Shukadeva Goswami is teaching the principle of the highest renunciation, yukta vairagya. That whatever resources God has provided in this world, they are all meant to be used in God's service. Whatever abilities we have, use it in God's service. But don't be attached. Don't be attached to the ability, and don't be attached to the facilities that the abilities generate. Only be attached to the service. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the standard of real human life. Not to be spoiled brats before God. I need this, I want this, I need this, I want this, I need this, I want this. Did you ever see a child that's like that with their parents? Parent can never satisfy them. The more you give them, the more they want. The more you give them, the more they want. The more they have, the more they have to defend it. The more they're afraid they're going to lose it. The more they're competing with all their other friends. A spoiled brat is never satisfied. And therefore, it's the duty of a parent to not spoil their children. If you spoil your child, you ruin their life. Teach them to be content with whatever comes of its own accord. That is a real parent. You can provide, but don't provide in such a way that they're always thinking that they will get their way. Because this world is a hard struggle for existence. But we're all like spoiled brats before God. Give me this, I want this. I'll serve you if I have this. I'll love you, but first I need this. We make so many conditions, but we're never satisfied. The more conditions we make, the further from God we go. The more material desires we have, the less we can understand the real wealth of our own inner consciousness. And this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. You perform your duty, you do your work, you be responsible, but you be detached. You take it or leave it according to God's will. You have that faith. You know that death can come tomorrow. So you put your inner consciousness only in attachment to Krishna, not to anything of this superficial world. And there are so many examples that Shukadeva Goswami gives in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they were completely detached, utterly depending on Krishna. How was Prahlad utterly depending on Krishna? His father threw him in a pit of snakes, and he didn't care. He just went diving down into the pit of snakes, just, Arivo. Because he knew, Krishna, you're in the hearts of these snakes. If you want them to bite me, they will bite me. Nice. If you want them to lick me, they will lick me. Very nice. They can't do anything outside of what your desire is. He was peaceful. He was detached. If he would have just done one thing, just been a little diplomatic with his father, he was the eldest son. He would have been coronated as the Yuvaraj, the next king of the entire universe. But he was just so straightforward because he had such faith in God. Put yourself in Prahlad's position. Just keep quiet and you become the emperor of the universe. You're a devotee, keep it to yourself. Don't tell anyone. And you're the, and you will have all the comforts, delights, and opulences of the heavens. He didn't care for these things. He only cared for one thing, truth. That Krishna is my Lord, and I will chant his name and speak his glories. His father asked, "What is the best thing you learned in school?" "Oh, best of the demons, I learned that foolish people like you can never be happy because you're just chewing what's already been chewed through material enjoyment. Better you go to Vrindavan and worship Krishna." He could have just said, "Oh, I learned mathematics and I learned geography, and it was very nice." And his father would have said, "Oh, nice boy, nice boy." My dear father, you are so much materially attached that better you always hear and chant the glories of the Lord. In this way, he was so honest. He could be honest because he had faith, because he wasn't attached. As long as you're attached, you have to be a yes man for the exploiters and controllers of this material society. But if you're detached, you can just tell the truth. This is where it's at. You're a demon and you're a rascal. I love you. Therefore, I'm telling you, go to Vrindavan and worship Krishna. You're wasting your life. I have no respect for you, Father. He could tell him right to his face. And the result was his father threw him off mountains, cast him into blazing fires, fed him deadly poison, had rakshasas stabbing him with tridents and spears and swords. But Prahlad, because he had faith in Krishna, he didn't mind. And in the end, the Lord desired that Prahlad be the king. After Hiranyakashipu was killed, Prahlad prayed, "My dear Lord, I love him. He's my father. So what if he tried to murder me, kill me, blaspheme me, and everything else? Please give him liberation." So the father was liberated. And Prahlad was put as king. And he ruled the entire world. Meticulously, with such responsibility. And as king, he had to get married. He didn't get married because he had uncontrolled senses. He got married because it was the duty of Kshatriyas to generate further generations. In fact, Bali Maharaj, that great Mahajan, was the grandson of Prahlad. So in this way, Prahlad showed us how one can be living as a grihastha, fully responsible in one's duties to the world, and at the same time be completely detached from material enjoyment and attached to Krishna. Willing to leave it all in a second if it was Krishna's will. And willing to accept anything if it was Krishna's will. That was his inner strength, his inner purity. And here in India, although what I'm speaking tonight is the heritage of Indian culture. This philosophy of knowledge, detachment, and devotion is Indian culture, not dancing with sticks. Indian culture is not going to weddings and dressing up nicely. This is all superficial. The actual heritage and birthright, which is the truth of the culture of India, is what Shukadev Goswami and these other great saints and sages have given you. And that is the understanding of how to live in your life in such a way that you have knowledge of what is truth. And through that knowledge, you are detached from anything that is contrary to devotion to Krishna. And you have complete attachment to God's service. This is the greatness of Bharatvarsha. But we have become real heritage is. Our culture is to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad, to follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit, to strive for the highest goal in our life. From the moment of our infancy to the time of our death, we are constantly moving forward, struggling to purify ourselves and be completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna, completely fearless, completely detached, completely absorbed in remembering him, in serving him, in chanting his holy name. Our Guru Maharaj would often quote a beautiful verse of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janma jara janma saratak kari kara para upakar. This bhakti that we are speaking is the real wealth. It is the real substance of Bharatvarsha. And it is the duty of every person born in this land of Bharatvarsha to realize it and to distribute this great charity to the rest of the world by our actions and by our words, by our life. And the world is suffering terribly. And India is suffering most terribly. Why? Because we are neglecting our inheritance. We are too weak-hearted. We are too petty in our ambitions in life. Keep your mind fixed on the ultimate goal. Perform all your work with this in mind. This is Sanatan Dharma. To come together in beautiful gatherings like tonight, to hear these higher truths of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the most important and sublime basis that we can create in our life for developing these higher virtues. Our Madan Mohan Prabhu and Radhika Rani, Mohan Shetty and his wife, we see how, if you look up, you will see these lights. There is the moon on one side, and then there is another moon on this side. It is the moon of Lord Gorchandra, the temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has converted his house into a beautiful temple. He's a householder. He has some means. And what does he do with this temple? He invites people to come and to hear the glories of the Lord and chant the names of the Lord and give nice prasad. Such a wonderful life. Tonight there may be 200-300 of us sitting together to hear Krishna's message, to chant his name, to take his prasad. This is the first and greatest responsibility of a householder. Householders make money, whether you make a little or a lot. Use it to create services and atmospheres that will elevate people's consciousness. That is why Krishna gives us whatever he's given us. But it is our choice whether we want to use it for that purpose or not. So this is the wonderful opportunity that we all have. And what we are speaking is not something impractical, but it is something, it is actually the only way of life that's really practical. Because it makes sense, because it's based on truth. And it's blissful. Just have faith in Krishna. Just keep the association of his devotees. Just always remember him by chanting his name. We don't require anything else. We'll use whatever we have, and we'll try to get more to use it in his service. But all we need is Harinam. Krishna will provide everything else. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.